So for you, it's later on in the week, but for us, it is pre-Thanksgiving Wednesday, and there's not a whole lot to talk about, so we're just going to hang out here live with the Twitch audience, and it is season 17, episode 81 of I Should Be Writing.
Well, I should be writing.
Hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast for wannabe fiction writers, and I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. We've been doing this show since 2005, and I've been writing amateurly since before that, but professionally since 2013. So you want to find out more about me and my stuff, you can go to merverse.com. I use she, her pronouns. I live in Durham on the eastern coast of North Carolina, and that's probably all I need to say. Yeah. It's weird doing this part because I just streamed 2 days in a row, so I don't have a whole lot to add on to what I've been working on. I did have a meeting last night for my freelance stuff, so I have a couple of post-it notes full of stuff to focus on, but right now I think I needed to take it easy today. I don't know why. Yeah. Sometimes you need to take it easy because you've actually been doing a lot of work, and sometimes you just need to take it easy because of stress or emotions or something. But it's been a crappy month. It's coming to the end. I'm very happy about that. I failed to update the whole NaNoWriMo thing. I do want to keep working on my NaNoWriMo novel. I know I'm not going to hit 50,000, but I told myself I had November and a little bit of December to work on the fun novel before I got started on the next contracted novel. So I'm hoping to get that done. At least just work on it a little bit more. Let's get a murder done, one or two murders. I mean, why not? Everybody needs a little murder. Are you guys doing a whole big Thanksgiving feast? We are doing a Thanksgiving feast. It just kind of, trying not to take it too personally, but I know I'm not taking it personally. I understand everybody's reasons, but, pretty much everybody we invited, couldn't make it. So it's going to be the three of us. And then, some people may come over for pie. So we are doing a Thanksgiving feast, but not too big. And, but I'm making the murder pie again. If you missed it last year, I think I left it downstairs. I, live tweeted my murder pie. Cooks Illustrated had this like cranberry custard pie that is just like blood red. And it is also delicious. So we're making murder pie again this year. Nice overlay. I'm writing with family to see relatives. Hey, Jasmine, I'm glad you're able to pop in. Yes, the overlay is because I switched streaming software and I didn't want to switch it to like a neutral overlay and then have to switch it to a Christmas overlay next week. We have whipped cream, vanilla ice cream, and weird fake cream in a can. No. We have a fake Cool Whip. That's my vice. Anyway, so we do pudding cake. Wow. Murder Pie sounds like a good name for a cozy mystery / cookbook. It does. I'm not very good at the cozy mysteries that are built around bakeries or animals. I try not to, you know, crap on them. Somebody likes them clearly because they're selling, but it's never really interested me. And I've tried a couple of them and they're just not for me. So, have not been doing, those kinds of cozies. I like watching the cozies on, usually British cozies. Make pecan pie from scratch once as a Valentine's Day present. Realized we didn't have ice cream. Dashed across the road for a block of vanilla with 8 minutes to spare. Hallmark movie. Ah, yes. Hallmark movies. I have been enjoying the Deck the Hallmark podcast. I mentioned it last week. Especially since they're not, like, just completely pillorying the stories. They tell you what they like about them. And then when they tell you what they don't like, they're usually pretty funny. They did not grab what my least favorite part of, Christmas Switch on Netflix. It's when the woman bumps into her, like, faraway cousin who's about to be the ruler of magic, fake European place, and they do the whole switch up thing. But the catalyst of them meeting each other has to do with the peasant, is in a cooking competition. And so she's wearing an apron, as cooks often do. And then her rival, an evil blonde person with no personality at all, bumps into her and spills coffee all over the apron. "Oh no," she says, "I can't have a dirty apron." So she runs backstage to get a new one. Because God forbid you get your apron dirty. Yeah, I was kind of hoping they would click onto that, but they didn't. But, I'm checking chat again. Locked Room Murder Mystery to Thanksgiving Dinner. Okay. Murder Pie. Actual romance holiday Hallmark style rather than mystery. I don't know how many saccharine perfect white people, or at least really light-skinned black people, Hallmark-type movies have murder in the title. I am getting way off topic. I don't have a whole lot to report on the topic of work I've been doing, but my good news is I'm feeling better than yesterday. I don't want to get too feel-good emotional self-help stuff, but I kind of processed a couple of things last night, and it was one of those weird feelings when you actually figure out why you're feeling a certain way, and then that, like, helps you move on. So I was feeling pretty bad about something, and then I kind of framed it in how I was handling it, and then I started to feel better. And I'm sorry I can't say more to actually make it any clearer, but yeah, that's just what I was going through. Just, I'm glad I feel better. I'm glad the kid's coming home. And I'm glad my stream is up and running on OBS. Not sure how to fix the last couple of bits, but that's not your problem. If you guys have any good news, please tell me in the chat. I always like to hear that. But yes, we're just hanging out before Thanksgiving. I am breaking into our discussion here because I wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, Scribophile. A lot of people ask me if I know a way they can start a writer's group or join a writer's group or what to look for in a writer's group or beta readers or whatever. And I work alone a lot, so I don't really have an answer for that. But then I found out about Scribophile, and it's exactly where people want to be. You can upload your stuff, you can get detailed critiques from other people, you can find beta readers, you can help other people out by giving them critiques. It's been endorsed by Writer's Digest and NaNoWriMo and Predators and Editors, and has made several lists of 100 best websites for writers. There is a free membership and a paid membership, and I recommend you check it out because it looks pretty sweet even on the free level. But thank you for your sponsorship, Scribophile, and if you guys want to check them out, Check out scribofile.com, and I'll have that in the show notes. So, I believe FireWriter brought it up in chat yesterday in the Discord about the Twitter main character of the day. I think it was a letter to Dear Prudence. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. But the there's a guy who says, my wife is a writer, and we agreed that when the baby came, she would stop writing for a little while and take care of the baby. And then my wife also has a day job. And so it turns out that behind his back, she wrote a novel on her lunch hour and sold it for six figures. He's very mad at her because she went behind his back and did the thing he told her not to do. And there's just so much to unpack here. I'm not a marriage counselor, but that just screams toxic to me. He thinks she could have come home an hour earlier every day. And I guess not eaten. But, yeah, the story was a hot mess from top to bottom. I'll never forget the person. I have forgotten their name. So if you were the one writing to me, that I'm sorry to bring it up again, and I hope things have gotten better, but just somebody who, she and her husband were out of work, and she was looking for work, and she was looking for work hard, but she wanted to pursue writing because that made her happy. And her husband was under the impression that if you have free time to do anything, you need to be looking for a job. I eventually told her to get a new notebook and go sit on the toilet and write. I don't know. It's just... Yeah, some people were saying it was a fake, but it's the problem of... I know some people, especially from evangelical backgrounds, who identified all too closely to it. Natanya Barron was very upset about it, and she finally realized it was because of what was expected of her when she was growing up. And I didn't follow it to the source, so I don't even know if this guy knows he was Twitter's main character, because I think it was he was writing into a advice column. But I don't know if even the entire internet yelling at him that and anybody's spouse is that successful, you say, yay, honey, that's great. Well done. Yes, I thought it might be on the Am I the A-hole? I'm not sure. If anybody saw the initial one, let me know where it's from. And the notion that all free time should be devoted to work is in some way foul. Yeah, exactly, kids are asleep. Like, you don't deserve a moment for yourself. It's awful. But it got me thinking, just... I guess I just wonder, in whose world does that sound like... I don't know. I am frankly naive. I am shocked that people do the things they do, either Nuremberg defense, or they are actually sociopaths, or they were brought up... I mean, I know a lot of women brought up in a religion that tells them they're inferior have left that religion. But some men in the religion who are told constantly that they are superior seem to want to keep going. I can't imagine why. But it's another one of those, think before you post. Who you are online, who you are, is a very layered and complex person. I'm not saying that's good or bad, I'm just saying we're all very layered. And what we show to the internet is usually in bite-sized pieces or photographs that are worked out to be, to make you look as good as possible in as good a situation as possible. And people judge us harshly sometimes based on those things. Now, if you're completely, like, if your one thing you show the internet is, like, you're a racist jerk, then I think you deserve to be, you know, called on that. But it's like, you might think that you're I don't even know what I'm thinking here. People get mad and say that the internet takes them out of context, and with the short-term attention spans and the domination of social media, yeah, we get a lot of things out of context, but we've usually learned how to put it all together. And I guess I'm just saying that it's possible this guy is having jealousy issues of she's supposed to be the mom and I'm supposed to be the breadwinner, and now she's gone off and gotten a huge book deal, and I feel threatened or something. But usually when I want to complain about something, I try to think how it sounds outside of myself. But it's a, yes, you're alive! Yay! I hit the yay button for that. Boom. Yeah, I don't have a lot of room to give this person the benefit of the doubt. But I mean, it's like, we feel these feelings, and a lot of them are childish. It's just, you need to identify when they are childish, and then you can go through and process them and not say it out loud in public. That's what gets me. Several years ago, there was someone doing an article on early days of podcasting. And I was a little bit miffed that I wasn't interviewed. Several years ago. And someone else I know was also miffed that they weren't interviewed. And they went on Twitter and complained loudly. And I looked at it and I said, well, I feel exactly the same way, but I'm going to feel it right here in the comfort of my own home. Oh boy. The guy may be solo parenting for all we know, but that isn't what he said. That's a good point. Kids are asleep. But again, he thinks that if his wife isn't writing during lunch, she should be just working all the way through and not eating. Yeah. Well, why won't someone think of my patriarchy? Thank you, Phase Out. Primalina says, I spent this year on pregnancy Reddit, and there's a constant barrage of women dealing with horribly sexist men. This is pretty par for the course. Ooh, that's awful. As I told my boss the other day about another coworker, we can only go on what people tell us, not assume all these ulterior motives. Except often women have fewer options financially. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's... that's what DMs are for. I would not be on Twitter otherwise. Yeah, it's like, that's what friends and DMs and private Slacks, and you go in there and you have your tantrum. Just recognize that it is a tantrum and move on. My boss likes to make excuses for employees after they say toxic things. Oh, they didn't really mean that. So if they're saying stuff they don't really mean, when do you know to trust them when... trust that they are not... that they are meaning what they say? I don't know. Phased out, you joined Reddit when your Facebook account was banned and you couldn't make another one, and I needed a reason to be angry on the internet. Oh, boy. So, support your partners in their creative efforts. Ask that they support you, too. And when you want to have a tantrum, have it at home. The more public you get, the more closely people will scrutinize your tantrums. Or anything you say, really. I have been lucky so far. Did find a YouTube video claiming that I had... I can't remember exactly what I did, but it ended with me telling Chuck Wendig to sic his followers on this guy. Like, I have control over Chuck's followers, and we send them away like attack dogs. It was really weird, and I didn't watch the whole thing. I just read the title, and I went, do I have that power? I don't even know what they're talking about, but Yeah, so I not sure if this is right, Valerie. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe it is a 40,000 word deadline right now, or a goal for today. Could be worse. You could have sent Ursula after them. God. Hi, Kevin. Lovely to see you. Yeah. Ursula just getting mad on the internet gives her life. I don't know how. I wish I had that moxie or chutzpah. UPS will be gone in a minute. Oh, I know. I know you say that with love for your wife. But it's still... Yeah. Oh no, a murderer at the door. Yeah. So yeah, if you're doing NaNoWriMo, I take my hat off to you. And someone said earlier that they were stuck on 35,000. 35,000 is amazing, and it's more than twice what I have, and I'd be proud of 35,000 words. Definitely. I'm stuck under 9,000. That's okay. Try to pivot. Try to do a different take on things. Throw in a feast. Throw in some sex. Throw in a battle. Whatever fits. That was the advice we were giving back in the day of starting this daily show. I remember P.G. Holyfield was helping me with it. And his favorite of my suggestions was, I named every podcast for the NaNoWriMo Daily. And I believe the sex one was His Turgid Rod, is what I called it. I was proud of that one. So, when in doubt, throw in a feast, throw in a sex scene, throw in a getting dressed, and the clothes are very detailed kind of thing. It's my first NaNo. I'm just glad I've started. Daniel, that deserves a yay. I'm sorry. That's great. Because you've gotten 9,000 words down, and that's amazing. It really is. I'm not being, Words are hard today. It's good to know I wasn't completely off base when I thought, man, I'm not braining at all today. Patronizing is the word I'm looking for, good Lord. I'm not being patronizing. I think that 9,000 is amazing. It really is. Robert Jordan, Wheel of Time approach with treatises on tea, where the tea is from, brief historical paragraph, and half chapter on the culture and history of the designs of the teacups. Wow. Yeah, Kim Stanley Robinson can do that with science. I don't know if I told you guys about this. Not last fall, of course. Like, it feels like the last 2 years have been, like, strung out for a decade. And also, when I think of actually being out and doing things in the winter, I'm thinking, oh, that was last year. No, it wasn't last year. It had to be at least 2019, maybe 2018. But I was invited to talk at a local author thing with John Kessel and Kim Stanley Robinson. I am a science fiction writer, but I'm not a scientist. And Stan is. I don't know if he's a scientist, but he is a person who understands all that stuff. If you've read any of his stuff, you know that he understands that stuff and likes to write about it. And I was feeling more and more uncomfortable on stage as they both would give really thoughtful answers to questions. And I'm like, I follow the woman who does AI weirdness on Tumblr. She's funny. But then it was kind of cool to where they asked what we were working on next. And I can't remember what Stan said, but it sounded like a heavy science, devastating talk on the world we live in or climate change or something. It's like it said very important book on it. And I said, I'm doing a Murder, She Wrote meets Babylon 5 murder mystery in space. And I felt like I was just saying, anyone see The Good Place when Tahani's sister's saying, look, mother, I've done this sculpture of this bird and it means all this sort of artistic stuff. And Tahani's got a picture of a bird. She's like, my birdie has a hat. That's how I was on stage next to Kim Stanley Robinson going, my birdie has a hat. But luckily, people seemed interested in the fact that my birdie had a hat. So that was at least good. But it was really uncomfortable being up there and surrounded by people who knew science. And me, I look up what I need to know for the thing that I'm trying to make up and email Pamela Gay when I can't find something really fast. So it's... yeah. Oh, good. Thank you, Daniel. I'm glad you didn't take it that way. Yes, progress is still progress. And if you're listening to this later, or, you know, if you're listening to this after we do the live thing and you're not doing as well as you wanted to be on NaNoWriMo, you're not alone. And keep going. There's, if you can get some words down, do it. Throw in a view from one of the gods and what their opinion is of what your characters are doing. I mean, you can do anything, and if you write something bizarre and say, but now we're going to talk to this person's twin sibling, who's in a completely different city, with completely different weather, in a completely different story. By doing those kinds of things, you may figure out where you got stuck. It's just like, that I'm speaking as a hardcore pantser. I know that if I think about a problem, I might come up with a solution, but I know I need to write it out, and then the brain like turns on and says, oh, right, this thing could be fixed by this. And so sometimes if I go off on a tangent, that's going to help me figure out what I'm not writing about. If that makes any sense. Anyway, yes, the AI blogger is Janelle Shane. She did a book on weird AI. I just love that the, for some reason, I don't think she knows me from Adam. I'm no one to her. But when, a couple of years back when she had the AIs figure out, come up with Thanksgiving pie ideas, one of them was Murr's Tartless Tart. And it was just like an empty tart pan. I don't know why it was mine, but it made me very happy. Pamela is awesome. We love Pamela. Because I forgot I needed a note for my book. You know, sometimes you just, if someone can answer it and you can reach out, then sometimes it is faster just to ask. When I get stuck, I loved interviewing my characters, especially the ones who hate it. Okay, Preemie, can you tell us how you come up, how your characters hate being interviewed? I need to hear more about this, because that sounds really funny. Phased Out, the Babylon 5 crossover story is my book, Station Eternity. It's a woman who has all the murders happen around her, only people react to that the way people would react to that, which is, oh my gosh, you're terrifying, get away from me, because murder follows you everywhere. There's also been first contact, so she makes a plea to an alien space station to go live there. Maybe people won't start dying around her again. So, that's the concept of it, and it will be out in October. Okay, Preemie says, sometimes they don't want to talk about a recent disaster, but I do for the next plot point. Or they're having a feeling and they do not want to discuss the feeling, which means I should lean into it. Yes. The book I'm talking about, Phased Out, is not out yet. It's be out in next October. I don't know when you'll get your hands on it because we haven't sold any foreign rights yet. I don't know. Do you guys import a lot of English language books? Yes, that would be why you haven't read it. Yes, unfortunately, I do mean 2022 October. I'm not, it's the book had to slip because of editing and COVID and everything, and so they didn't want to put it on the calendar until I turned it in. And it's a new publisher for me, so they took it off the calendar. I finished it. I finished it a couple more times, and then they were happy with it. And then they put it on the calendar, and the first slot they had was October, which sounds awful. But on the other hand, with the whole supply chain problems, I'm kind of hoping that things will be fixed by then, and it won't affect me. Yes, I hope ebook and audiobook will exist. Definitely. But yeah, is there anything anybody wants to talk about or bring up? Because I'm just kind of chilling here. Tell me if anybody else has shown their butt on Twitter. Does anybody have anything they want to ask or address before I sign off? My complete bibliography. Oh. Well, on my site, there's at least all the books. I don't know if it has all my self-published stuff. And most of the short fic. So yeah, just go to merverse.com and writing and books should have most of them that you should read. Some of the older ones are, yeah. I suppose everybody has those. Cat needs cuddles and I'm typing. We'll rectify. You're gonna have to perfect that one-handed typing. But if there is no other thing people want to ask about writing or just hanging out. I read the first four books by Garth Nix after reading his most recent ones, and it's fascinating to watch a writer evolve and improve over the course of, say, four novels. Yeah, and I have think realizing this is kind of depressing, but I have never had a series complete. I had the idea for at least six Shambling Guides. I didn't even get a third. With Six Wakes, I could have done when it did a lot better than we expected. I could have written a sequel, but the publisher didn't want that. And oh, my very first book, the Playing for Keeps, like in 2007 or 8, that was I had plans for two more books, and that, earned out and did well, and the press shut down, so there wasn't even talk of a sequel. And so the problem with that is, yes, I could continue the stories on my own, but I've grown since then, and it's been a long time to be away from those situations and those characters. So I don't even know if I could if I tried. I might do some short fiction in those areas. I really do want to write about the mouse. How do you shut off the internal critique while writing? I don't know if I'll ever let anyone read my novel, but I still can't get past the fear of my own criticisms at times. And two things. One's a little bit more existential. Again, I'm sorry, my brain is not coming up with words really easily today, but you can give yourself 5 minutes for your editor to say whatever they want, and then when the 5 minutes are done, set a timer. And then you say, okay, you get to be quiet now. I get to work now. That might be a trick that works. You can sit down and allow yourself to write horribly. Challenge yourself to write horribly. Make that the goal. Because, or just remind yourself that You know what? You may be writing terribly. You may be the worst writer we were talking to today. But you don't get better until you write more. So the internal editor saying that you suck, you're like, well, yeah, and if you shut up and let me work more, I can get better. Because you're not going to get better if you don't work. And so if the internal editor really wants you to get better, then they'd shut up. So those are my three options. A lot of it has to do with just, you know, hacking your own brain and saying, I got to do this. I don't care if it sucks. Because persistence, and remind yourself that persistence is what gets going. Oh, Dice of Lily, the thing that got me to finally finish a draft was other writers saying you can't fix something you've not written. That's a good point. Yeah. So it sounds a little woo, or just talk to that little person inside you. But honestly, if one of those brain hacks work, embrace it. Just allow yourself to write horribly, or tell your editor they get 5 minutes to be terrible and then they get to shut up. Or just say, yeah, I suck. And I'm doing this to get better. And I'm definitely not assuming that you're a terrible writer, Daniel. I'm just saying that what if you sit there and think, what if the editor's right? If the editor's right, then you just write more and get better. Because you can't just magically get better. I think it's an adult thing where we just assume that since we're adults and we can drive and function and cook dinner and stuff, it's like when we try something new, we should at least be competent at it. And we don't want to go through this learning process. And that's why it always feels like a big thing to say, I am taking a music class, I am taking a beginning drawing class, I'm taking a novelist class. Noveling, that's a word. But if you allow yourself to write poorly, you'll keep going. And, crap, there's going to be one more thing, but I'll say what the Kids Are Asleep said. For me, I just sort of tune it out like the Muzak at Panera. The voice won't go away, and the more attention you give it, the louder it gets. That's true. Yeah, music might help. Play some music that really pumps you up. But this is a persistence game. And I definitely can't speak that this is everybody, but the people I know who've quit, they quit. You know, it's not... Nobody can tell you to quit. People can tell you to quit, but no one has the control over you to actually quit. And when you don't write because you talk yourself out of it, that is the reason most people quit. And it's just the people who refuse to quit that eventually go on and be published. We could have the greatest science fiction writer in the world living down the street, but she didn't like being rejected, so she quit. I know a guy in my high school who was one of those, like, effortless actors. He didn't need to try anything. He just, like, got into the role, and just, he was amazing. But, you know, he didn't really work on that or pursue much, and so he's not an actor. And, you know, I don't know him that well. I certainly haven't talked to him in many, many, many years. But, you know, you could see that it came to him easily, and if he ever had to work, he's just kind of, eh. So yes, rejection sensitivity from ADHD is a real thing, and it sucks. You know, it's setting a timer or doing like Pomodoro stuff might help with the ADHD thing, because you know, the rule is that you have to write for the next 20 minutes. I wasn't going to say you didn't make the rule, you did make the rule, but it's like the timer is the one who's in charge. And so you don't have to worry about when you start and when you stop, because the timer will tell you. And if your inner editor starts speaking up, you just like, hang on, it's writing time. I gotta write because the timer said so. It feels weird to recommend these brain hacks, but they can work. I don't like it, but they can. I mean, I don't like it because it feels weird to say that. I've been, you know, working on my random number generator productivity system where, you know, I roll the die and the die tells me what to do. And it works. I just haven't figured out a way to prioritize some things. Like, okay, great, so I got 3 things done in the last hour, but am I any closer to my deadline? No, because that number did not come up. So, Pomodoro can help with severe ADHD, like mine, not always, but often enough to not take the app off the phone. Forest helps too. It's an app that I've talked about it many times. You say you plant a tree, and then you say how long you're going to focus. And then if you do anything with your phone, including maybe you can make it punish you for making a call, or you can make receiving a call the only thing that you're allowed to do. But if you pick up your phone and use it for anything else, the tree dies. And so your work day is spread out on this grid of trees that are healthy and trees that are dead. And so it's like, I killed my tree. And strangely, it's effective. Yeah, it's weird. You can get it on the app stores, and you can get a extension for Chrome, so you can do that for your, yeah. You can use it for your computer, at least your browser usage. So it's a silly thing. The only thing I don't like about it is, you know, the incentives are you make some coins or you give the app money and you can buy different kinds of trees. But even if you own a different kind of tree, the full, for example, I'll say I have the tree that has the treehouse in it. And so, but if I do 25 minutes of writing, I'm only going to get like a little bit of a tree. I have to do 2 hours of writing for the tree to grow big enough to actually have the house in it. That's one thing I don't like, because, you know, another thing about ADHD is we're really good at hyper-focusing, which is not always the best for health and stuff. But you can deal with it. I like Forest. I don't always remember to use it, but that's another problem altogether. I think folks with ADHD have trouble with starting sprints themselves, so having someone else do it, person or bot, works better. Okay. Did not know that. Thanks, Valerie. Huh. Well, I do have to run, so I'm going to turn off now. Remember, if you think up something you want to ask, and seriously, if you are writing this weekend and you get stuck, email me, just mightymer@gmail.com, and I'll see if I can help you get moving again. I felt bad falling down on my attempt to do a daily show this month, and so even if you just need an email that says, come on, little camper, you can do this, I'll do that. Don't be ashamed to ask me, because I'll do it. So mightymer@gmail.com. Contact me if you're writing over Thanksgiving and you just can't anymore. And I'll try to help. Otherwise, I am here next here on the 30th. I have been wanting to do an I Should Be Writing party on the 30th to celebrate the end of NaNoWriMo. But, I don't know how to do a streaming party, so I'm going to have to ask some people. But I would like to celebrate everybody who's done NaNoWriMo next Tuesday. Even if you didn't hit the 50, it doesn't matter. I am interested. Ha ha ha! happy Thanksgiving to those of you in the U.S. Happy Thursday, Friday, and weekend to those of you who are elsewhere. And as always, it's real pleasure talking to you guys. So thank you. I need to do the end of the show, which I haven't done. So thank you to my producer, Summer, who's having to clean up all of this. And you can find me at merverse.com. And thank you to Joey T. Badger and who else? Who else subscribed? I can't remember. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to find it. Anyway, thank you to the subscribers. Thank you to those of you hanging out. You can find my books at merverse.com. Support on Patreon, whatever. Have a good time. Take care of yourself. Take care of those who love you and you love back. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor Who. Yeah, I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.